speak about a little bit of yesterday's parsha and today's parsha, a little bit combining them, a few different points. Point number one is that obviously we have the famous thing that happened last week, that Yaakov tricked Yitzchak into giving him the brachos, that really he was supposed to go to Esav. So a couple years ago when I was learning Bamidbar, Parsha Sukkas, I was bothered by Akasha, and that's what I would like to speak out. The pasuk says in Parsha Sukkas, Vayishma ha-Knani melech Arad Yoshev ha-Negev. It says that the Knani, the king of Arad, who sits in the south, he heard that Bnei Yisrael was coming, and he started a war with Bnei Yisrael. So Rashi points out over there that Yoshev ha-Negev, Rashi says, Zeh Amalek. That's referring to Amalek. So even though the pasuk says Vayishma ha-Knani, Knani is one nation, Amalek is a different nation, but Rashi says that Yoshev ha-Negev, it brings a different pasuk that says Amalek Yoshev ha-Eretz ha-Negev, that whenever it says Yoshev ha-Negev, it refers to Amalek. So even though the pasuk starts off Vayishma ha-Knani, Melech Arad, then it says Yoshev ha-Negev, it's referring to Amalek. So Rashi continues and explains why it's calling him Knani and why it's calling him Amalek. What's going on over here? So Rashi says, Vishina es lashona ladaber b'loshon Knan. The Amalekim changed their language to speak the language of the Knanim. Kadei shiyu Yisrael mismalim ha-Kadosh Baruch Hu loses Knanim v'yodam. Amalek wanted to start war with Bnei Yisrael, and they knew that Bnei Yisrael would daven to Hashem. So in order to trick Bnei Yisrael, they changed their language to speak like the Knanim. So the Jews would pray to Hashem that he should give the Knanim over in their hands. But hey, they don't Knanim, they're not Knanim, so their prayer wouldn't work. So what did Bnei Yisrael do? Ro Yisrael levushehen kelevushi Amalekim. Bnei Yisrael saw that their clothes were the clothes of the Amalekim. Ulashonam lashon Knanim. And their language was the language of the Knanim. So Amru Nispal Ostam, since they were confused, they said, let's just pray a plain prayer without specifying which nation it is. Shenemar Nason Titein Es Ha'am Azeb Yodi. So then it brings down the prayer that they said, if you give over this nation, they didn't specify which nation because they were confused. But it struck me when I read this Rashi that it seems to be in contrast to what we read yesterday in the Parsha, that when Yaakov was trying to trick Yitzchak and to pretend he was Esav to get the brachos, so we know the famous pasuk of Kol Kol Yaakov Ha'idayim Ed Esav, the voice was that of Yaakov and the hands were that of Esav. That Yaakov, with Rivka's advice, he dressed up like Esav, but he kept his speech like Yaakov. That's why Yitzchak was confused on Kol Kol Yaakov, the voice is like Yaakov and the hands are like Esav. So it's a very interesting thing that, as far as I know, these are the two places in the Torah where we see someone trying to pretend he's somebody else. And over here, when Amalek is trying to trick Bnei Yisrael, they change their voices to speak like Knanim, and they leave their clothes the same. That's what Rashi says explicitly, that they saw the clothes like that of the Amalekim, but the language was that of the Knanim. So I was thinking, why in one place is the person changing the clothes that he wears, and why in another place is he changing the language that he speaks? So I thought of a chilek. And then I saw something this year that I think fits in very nicely with it, the Beis HaLevi on yesterday's Pasha. I was thinking that you could make a difference like this, that in our Pasha yesterday it was Yaakov trying to trick Yitzchak. So Yaakov represents the Jews, he's the father of the Jews. And Amalek is obviously the, you know, if not the worst, but the classic case of the non-Jews that we're at war with. So when it comes to the Jews, the main thing that we focus on, Well, one yisod that I feel is true is that when a person has to trick somebody, the person doesn't want to change their essence. He wants to change as little as he has to change in order to trick that person. For example, if a person's wearing a yarmulke and he's about to go into a place where he thinks it will be dangerous to wear a yarmulke, he's afraid for his life, so most likely he'll take off his yarmulke. If he has a baseball cap, he'll put a baseball cap on. Most likely, unless he doesn't have, he won't walk in without a yarmulke. Because he wants to have his head covered, but he doesn't want to be afraid of his life, so he'll put a hat on instead of a yarmulke. A person's wearing his tzitzis out, so he'll tuck his tzitzis in. He's not going to take his tzitzis off altogether. A person, when he has to trick someone, when he wants to pretend he's someone else, he doesn't want to change the essence of who he is. He wants to change as least as he has to in order to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. So when it comes to Yaakov, he's trying to trick Yitzchak, so therefore he says, I'm willing, the essence of a Yid, the essence of Yaakov was his divur. That's where the spiritual aspect of a person comes out from the speech of a person. That's where it shows itself. So Yaakov was not willing to change the voice that he used. He was more willing to change the outside. The clothes make less of a difference in terms of the person. It doesn't show who you be'etzem are, who you really are. So Yaakov was willing, based on Rivka's advice, to change his outer garments, but not to change his speech, which represents his insights, his spirituality. Vashenki, when it comes to Amalek, their main thing is the chitzonius, is the way that they look. Their uniform is very important to them. Their fashion and whatever they're wearing, that's the main thing by them. So when they're coming to trick the Jews, even though it seems illogical, we're going to war, so a person's going to see your clothing before he hears what language you're speaking, but they weren't willing to change their clothing. They felt that they can get by with just changing one thing, so they changed their language instead of changing their clothing. The Beis Halevi asked a very big kasha in yesterday's parsha that all the Rishonim are bothered by. Most of them answered in a different way than the Beis Halevi, but the Beis Halevi is a very nice pshat. The pasuk says when Yitzchak saw that Yaakov, when Yitzchak was about to give Yaakov the bracha, so he felt like Esav. Vayomer Abkol Kol Yaakov Vayadayim De Esav. The next pasuk says Vlohi Kiro Kihayu Yodav Kidei Esav Ochiv Siros, and he did not recognize him because his hands were like that of Esav; they were very hairy. Vayivarchehu, and he blessed him. So the Beis Halevi asks, it's a very funny pasuk. Yitzchak is confused. He's not sure who it is. He's like, Kol Kol Yaakov. The voice sounds like Yaakov. Vayadayim De Esav. The hands feel like Esav. Vayivarchehu, so he blessed him. You would think that he should clarify. He was confused. He wanted to give the bracha to Esav. Now he's expressing his confusion. On the one hand, it's like Yaakov. On the other hand, it's like Esav. So he gave him the bracha. But what is he doing? He's confused. So talk to him more, feel him more, do something else to clarify who it is. It doesn't make any sense to pasuk. Then on the one hand, you say it's Yaakov. On the other hand, it's Esav. So he gives him the bracha anyway. That's the Beis Halevi's kasha, which a lot of Rishonim answer in different ways. But the Beis Halevi explains the following, that Esav was a very smart man. And Esav realized that when he was going to go out to get the food that Yitzchak wanted, he knew that Yaakov was also very smart, and that Yaakov would come in and try to trick Yitzchak into getting the brachos. So Esav made the following calculation. He said, Yaakov was probably going to try to speak like me, like Esav. So Esav, before he left Yitzchak, told his father that when I come back, I'm going to speak like Yaakov. The way you're going to know who I am is I'm going to speak like Yaakov, and I'm going to feel like myself. I'm going to change my speech to be like Yaakov. Yaakov, in the end, based on Rivka's advice, ended up changing his clothes and not changing his speech. So the Beis Halevi explains that although the simple pshat in the pasuk sounds like he's unsure who it is, Hakol Kol Yaakov Adayim VeEsav, really the Beis Halevi says it was a checklist. It was a total guarantee that it was Esav. On the one hand, he said Hakol Kol Yaakov. Esav said he was going to speak like Yaakov. So Hakol Kol Yaakov, check. That's a right that it's Esav. Adayim VeEsav, and the hands are like Esav. So now he's sure it's Esav. Therefore, he gave him the bracha. Doesn't work out so with the next pasuk, but at least with Hakol Kol Yaakov, he doesn't bring the next pasuk. But Hakol Kol Yaakov, and I'm the Esav, by Rechayo, he says the hands, the kol is like Yaakov, therefore it's Esav, Esav is going to change it. So I was thinking, it's mamish in line with what I was saying between Klal Yisrael and Amalek, that Esav, when he was afraid that Yaakov was going to pull a trick on him, so Esav just assumed, what is Yaakov going to change? That Yaakov is going to change his speech. Because in Esav's mind, who's the grandfather of Amalek, they changed their speech when they want to trick someone. He was convinced that Yaakov would do that. But Yaakov, who's a classic Yid, the father of the Yidden, so he wasn't willing to change his speech. He was only willing to change his clothing. So therefore, you see, mamish the same thing between the chub, between Yaakov and Amalek. You see over here, Esav was in line with what Amalek said. That Esav couldn't understand how he possibly would change his clothing. He could only understand how someone would change his speech, and therefore he made the advice that he made the Esav with Yitzchak that he would change his speech. So I thought that was interesting, the connection between Esav and Amalek.
Doesn't fit in that saying that Yaakov actually knew. Yitzchak actually knew it was Yaakov. I mean,
it's like really news. Well, the different translations. We're going with the pasuk on the pasuk, skipping the pasuk before. Okay, yeah. Okay, that's one point. Another interesting that comes out of these parashios is that we know in yesterday's parasha it says that Yaakov was an each time Yoshev Olam. It was each time he was a very pure, straight person. We know also the Navi says Tiket Emes LeYaakov. Whenever we talk about Yaakov, we always have the midah of Emes. And if you look through the parashios, when it discusses Yaakov, it comes out very strange. Because almost every instance we see Yaakov, he's tricking someone. Right? Yesterday's parasha, Yaakov is tricking Yitzchak into giving the brachos, pretending he's Esav. And then we go to this coming week's parasha, when Yaakov was with Lavan. So Yaakov says in the beginning, that's actually the Gemara Megillah brings down, it says, when Yaakov met Rachel, he says, "V'yagid Yaakov l'Rachel ki achi aviyahu." The pasuk says that Yaakov told Rachel that he was the brother of her father. So the Gemara asks, "V'chi achi aviyahu? Is he really the brother of her father?" Yaakov wasn't Lavan's brother. "V'alo ben achos aviyahu?" He was the son of her father's sister, right? Lavan was Rivka's brother, and he was the son of Rivka, so he was her cousin. He wasn't the father's brother. So Ella Amar La. mincivally, rather they had a conversation. He said to her, I want you to marry me. Yes, I will marry you. However, my father is a deceiver. And he won't permit it. Yaakov responded when he said, Achi Aviyahu, that I am your father's brother. What he meant was, I am his brother in deceit. It's another kasha. It's very funny that Yaakov is telling her that I'm his brother in deceit. He's saying, he was saying he's an Ish Tamus, he's straight, he's an Ish MS. Now he says, I'm Lavan's brother in deceit. We see he tricked Yitzhak in the last parasha. He says, I'm Lavan's brother in deceit. And then we see also that if you go to the end of the parasha with the one of the confusing parashas with when he's trying to get his wages, when Laban tried to rip him off and he tries to get his animals, so he made this whole thing, I'm going to take the spotted and speckled babies. And then if you read through the psukim, he put a rod there that was spotted in order to make the babies come out to be spotted, a whole thing that seems on the surface to be very not straight. So it seems to be everywhere we turn, all we see with Yaakov is seems to be deceit. So what's the pshat that we call him each time the Yoshev Orlim, and we see Chita Danas Yaakov? It seems to be a very funny thing. So I saw a teretz. I want to just answer based on what I once heard from a Mashiach in Eretz Yisrael, a very nice idea, based on the Rambam, and then we'll come back to Yaakov. I think it works out very nicely. That the Rambam says that with all midos, a person should not be in the extreme. A person shouldn't be too generous, that every person who comes to tzedakah, they should just give everyone without analyzing who they are. On the other hand, he shouldn't be too cheap. He should not give to anybody. And every midah the Rambam says in Kass, the person shouldn't be overly angry, but he shouldn't be like a mix who can't get angry. A person should be in the middle ground. So this person explained, what does that mean to be in the middle ground? Does that mean that I should keep an account thing that yesterday I got angry, so today I won't get angry? Or last time my kid spilled something, I didn't get angry, today I'll get angry. Like yesterday I gave tzedakah, you should give exactly half the time. What exactly does that mean that a person should be in the middle when it comes to midos? So he explained very nicely that what it means that a person should be in the middle when it comes to midos, it means it's not a numbers game. It means that a person should be in control of his midos, that let's say a person does something that would possibly upset him, that he has in his control to get angry or to not get angry. But it's in his control and he can decide what he thinks is the right thing. But the middle ground of midos is that you don't act on instinct, but rather you use your intellect to decide when to act. So a person cannot get stuck up 45 times in a row and still be a very generous person. It's not a stira. Because to be a generous person means that each person that comes to me for tzedakah, I have the ability to give him. I'm not giving him because I'm too cheap. It's not because I'm too cheap. It could be I have a cheshbon that I understand that I could give him, I cannot give him. And whatever cheshbon, either he doesn't deserve the money for whatever reason, I don't think he's worthy of it, or financially I can't afford to give the money, it's not the proper thing, whatever it is. But a person has control over the midah. When someone does something wrong to him, he can get angry, he cannot get angry. He doesn't just get angry because that's his nature to get angry. It's all the cheshbon. I think I'll be that's a person's... If we say that that's what the midah beta, that's a person exemplifies a midah in a classic way. He has control over the midah. So I think by Yaakov works out very nicely. I saw Ha'ara that it says Ish Tam. He's an Ish Tam. So I saw from the Chozem Lublin. Why doesn't it say Yaakov Hayatam? Why doesn't it say he was pure? Why doesn't he was an Ish Tam? He says if it would just say that he was pure, that would be mashma that his nature was to be pure. He's just a pure guy. He can't get upset. He can't pull any shtick. If you want to rip someone off, you go rip Yaakov off. He's just a very innocent person. But Ish Tam means, just like by Noah, it says he was an Ish Adama. Rashi says he was an Adam. He was in control of the Adama. He was leading over the Adama. So Yaakov was an Ish Tam. He was in control of his Tmimus, which means he decided when he would act the Tmimus and when he would act the Ramos. And the proper thing is that when a person is trying to rip you off, you're not mukhif to get ripped off. You can pull shtick on him just as well in order to have the MS come out. So when we say Yaakov is an Ish Tam, it doesn't mean that he's just Tam, that he can't lie or he can't. If that's what the halacha dictates, he can't pull shtick on someone. He chooses in each instance whether he wants to act with Tmimus or Ramos. So when it comes to dealing with Rishon, when it comes to dealing with Esav, so he felt he had to do it. When it came to deal with Lavan, he felt he had to do it. But Ba'etzen, he wasn't each time that he had control of this mita. We see a similar idea by Avraham Avinu, that the Rishonim said that the Akedah was the biggest Nisayon. What was the biggest Nisayon about it? Since Avram represented Chesed, everything he did was Chesed, Achlasas Orchim, and that was his whole life was Chesed, so Hashem comes and wants to prove to everyone that it's not just he's just a nice guy, that he can't be tough. No, Hashem gives him a test, go kill your son. Do the cruelest thing that you could possibly do, go kill your son, that was a test. To show that when Avram is a Baal Chesed, when he's having Achlasas Orchim, it's not just, oh, he's just by nature, just such a nice person, he can't do anything to harm anyone. No, if Allah dictates to kill his son, he'll kill his son. That he had a control over the midah of chesed, that when he felt it was the proper time to act with chesed, he acted with chesed. When it was the proper time to act with achzarios, he acted with achzarios. And we see that tzaddikim in general, they have such control. They say over Maisa, I think it was Rishon Zalman, that his wife was on her deathbed, and he was in the hospital, and obviously he was very distraught that his wife was about to pass on. And then a Talmud of his saw him in the hospital, and he had just had a baby. That's why he was in the hospital. He ran over to his Rebbe, all excited, I just had a baby. And Rishon Zalman gave him the biggest smile and the biggest mazel tov, and he was just pure simcha. And this bacher, this married guy, this Avrich, he couldn't tell that anything was wrong. Only later did he find out that he was there with his wife who was about to be in the stairs. But he was in such control of his midos that he can turn on and turn off. If the proper thing is to be sad now with his wife, so then he's sad. The proper thing is to make this person happy because they're going through a simcha, so he's able to join in their simcha. That's the proper way with midos. Okay. New topic. I'll say over a kasha that I had. This is Stam HaKasha, Mesiv Parsha, that I never really had a satisfactory answer to. We know that when Laban tried to trick Yaakov and give over Leah instead of Rachel, so Rachel did a famous maisa that she gave over the simanim. So there's a long medrash in Eicha, medrash Eicha, in the Hakdama, that goes through the whole maisa of exactly what happened. I just actually this morning noticed the Gemara I started before, says over that she gave over the simanim. But just interesting Ha'ara, the difference in the Gemara and the Medrash, but that's not my kasha, I'll say my kasha afterwards. The Medrash says like this, that when Chai Yisrael went into Golos, so they went to ask the Avos to daven for Hashem to let Chai Yisrael back into Eretz Yisrael and to save them from being tortured in Golos. And Hashem didn't listen to Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe, and he only listened to Rachel. And Rachel's claim against Hashem was like this. At that moment, Rachel Imenu jumped in front of Hashem, and she said, Rabbona Shalom, Hashem, Golui Lefanecha, Shiakov, Abdelcha, Avani, Ava, Yesera. It's revealed in front of you, Hashem, that Yaakov, your servant, loved me tremendously, V'ovad Bishvili La'aba Sheva Shanim, and he worked in order to marry me for 7 years. When those 7 years finished, and when the time came for me to get married to my husband, my father decided to change me and to give over my sister instead of myself. It was very difficult for me to let Leah go in my place. He knew the Leah Eitzah because I knew about this Eitzah that was going on. Vehodati lebali umasati lo siman. And I knew this was going to happen. As the Gemara says, they knew it was going to happen before. Then when she said, my father's a Ramai, and she said, I have an older sister who's going to give over. Just sound the interesting thing between the Gemara and the Medrash. The Gemara says that after Yaakov said, I'm your father's brother in trickery, Amar lei, umi shari le tzadiki le segui Ibrahim Yusla, is it permitted for a tzadik to trick someone? So Amar la, like we were saying before, brings a pasuk in Shmuel that says, in Novar, titavar, in ikesh, titapel, that Hashem deals pure with pure people, and Hashem deals crooked with crooked people, so you see, when you're dealing with crooked people, you're allowed to be crooked. So Amar la, umayra me Yusla. So Yaakov said to her, what is your father's trickery? Amrale, Isli Achsa de Kashisha Minaya. I have a sister who's older than me. Velominsa Vli Mikaman. He won't let me get married to you before she does. So Masar La Simanim. So Yaakov gave over to Rachel Simanim. And Kimat Delilah, when that night came of the marriage, Amra, so Rachel said, Hasha Milsafa Achsai. Now my sister's going to be embarrassed. Masatinu Nihala. So I'm going to give her over the Simanim. And that's what the pasuk means when it says Vahi Baboker. It was in the morning. Vehinehi Leah. In the morning it was Leah. The Gemara asks, Mechad Ad Hashalav Leah? In the morning it was Leah. At night it wasn't Leah. Elo Mitel Simanim Shemasa Rachel Leah Vahavi Yada Ad Hashta. That because that Rachel gave over the Simanim to Leah, Yaakov didn't realize it was Leah in the morning. Behold, it was Leah. That Yaakov didn't realize it was Leah until the morning. But it's clear from the Gemara that Masa La Simanim, that Yaakov gave over Simanim to Rachel. The Medrash says not that way. It says Umasarti Lo Simon. The Medrash says that Rachel gave, not that it matters, but Rachel gave over the Simanim to Yaakov. It was the opposite way, that she gave the Simanim to him. She Yaakov Ben Yo Ben Achosi, that he should be able to tell the difference between me and my sister. Kedei Shel Yuchol Abi Lachlifeni, in order that my father shouldn't be able to go through with this switch. I felt bad about this. I had rachmanas on my sister. She'd be very embarrassed if Yaakov would end up saying, oh, you're not the one I married. So ulaerav chofu achosai, at night they switched my sister, labali bishvili, umasati alachosai kol ha-simonim shumasati labali. Again, he says, I gave over all the simonim to my sister, then I give it over to my husband. Kedei shei sabur shei rachel, in order that my husband should think that it's Rachel. And now he says, very interesting thing that the Gemara doesn't say. But oh, not only that, Ella shenachnasi tachas hamita sheyashochev imachosi, that she says that she went under the bed where he was with her sister. V'hayamidaver ima v'isha sekes. When Yaakov was talking to Leah, she was quiet. V'ani meshivasa al kol davar v'davar. And I was responding from under the bed everything he was saying. Kedei shlo yakir lo kol achosi v'gamalti chesed ima. That he shouldn't recognize the voice of Leah. He should realize that it was really me. V'lo kinasi ba, and I wasn't jealous of her. V'lo lo tzeisiyo lo cherpa. She makes a time and says, you Hashem, if Klai Yisrael, just because he did have Eros, and they brought out Vodah Zarah, just like I gave my sister in, and I wasn't jealous of her, and I let it go through, and I saved her, so you should save Klai Yisrael. And Hashem responds, and he says, because of Yerachal, I'm going to return Klai Yisrael to their place. So this is the famous Maisa that everyone always talks about, that it is an amazing Maisa. But one thing that's left out of the Gemara and the Medrash is, what were the Simanim? Just as the Gemara says, he gave her the Simanim, the Medrash says, she gave him the Simanim. Whatever it was an amazing act that saved Klal Yisrael, to bring back to end the Galus. But it doesn't mention what the Simanim. So the Das of Kenev Aliyah tells us, says what the Simanim were. He says the Simanim were, Nida Chala and Adlocha Saner. But those three mitzvahs, I assume it was just saying, it was words, it was code words. Nida Chala and Adlocha Saner, right? There's a mitzvah of Nida, of the Yamafash Chala, and lighting candles. Those are the three mitzvahs that are given to women. So that was the siman that either Yaakov gave to Rachel or Rachel gave to Yaakov. Either way, those are the simanim. Now, in next expansion, Pashas Meyishlach, so we know that when Rachel was giving birth to Binyamin, she died in childbirth. And in Yeshiva, we don't say Bamem Adlikin, but in most shuls, during Kabbalah Shabbos, we say Bamem Adlikin before Marav. So it says, the Mishnah Shabbos says, Al Shlosha Devarim Ha'isha Mesa V'Shas Le'Dasa. For three Averos, a woman dies during childbirth. And those three are Nida, Chala, and Adlocha Saner. So I just thought it's a funny thing that just we have a concept in the Torah of Mida Keneged Mida. And it doesn't only mean that you do this, the exact same thing's going to happen to you. We see by a Sota that she did, the Gemara said she did an act, an animalistic act. So the korban she brings is barley instead of wheat. Her korban is an animal food. We see Mida Keneged Mida extends beyond just, you know, tit for tat exactly. But there's some remnants of the thing involved in any onus that happens. I just find it very funny that Rachel, although it wasn't the actual mitzvah of Nida Chala and Halacha Saner that created the whole thing that she did, but it was through those words, it was those simanim of Nida Chala and Halacha Saner that she did her great act of chesed, to remember L'dorei Doros, that same Klal Yisrael that we always discuss. And yet she died the misa of one who's not mekayim those mitzvahs of Nida Chala Halacha Saner. Obviously she did fulfill those mitzvahs. Obviously Rachel fulfilled them. I just find it funny, like, where's the Mida Keneged Mida that Rachel, who risked her life and gave over everything that she had, she gave over her husband, gave over her, as far as she knew, she was giving up her rights to marry Yaakov and she would never have any partner with Klal Yisrael, and she gave it over in order not to embarrass her sister, using those words of Nida Chala Halacha Saner. And then we see that she dies the Misa, that the Mishnah says Mefurish, that a person who does not keep these Misas, Nida Chala Halacha Saner, dies that. This doesn't sound like it's so straight, that you would think that Fakir, that any Misa she shouldn't die, would be that Misa that comes from someone not keeping Nida Chala Halacha Saner, and those are goof of the things that she saved Klal Yisrael with. It's just Stam Akasha, that you can tell me the theories from afterwards, I want to say one more point. One more point is just something that I think that we should keep in mind when we read through these parashiyos of Lavan, of Esav. We'll soon, when Purim comes, we'll see about Haman. When we see Rishon in the Torah, so a lot of times, I know when the kids come home, my daughter came home with a picture of Yaakov and Esav from second grade, and he looks like a very scary person. It's very, very scary. L'chora, when we look at that picture, my son wanted to look at the whole Shabbos, he was looking at that picture, it was very exciting to him. But the Chor, we can't relate to Esav. You see a person that last week, that he had a Bechorah, he was the firstborn, he was going to do the work in the Beis HaMikdash, and that represented his whole spirituality, and he was willing to throw it away for a little soup. Actually, the Beis HaLevi even says, in yesterday's parasha, the Beis HaLevi says that Esav came in when Yaakov was making the lentils, and he says, Haliteini namin ha'adom ha'adom hazeh. He says, shove down my throat some of that red stuff. Rashi says that Haliteini is a language of like a camel eats, opening your mouth and you know, pouring it down. And also, why did he say ha'adom ha'adom, there's red stuff, why didn't he say what it was? So the Beis HaLevi explains that the reason why they were making lentils, as Rashi says, is Avraham Avinu had died that day. And when a person is nifter and they're sitting shiva, so they make lentils which are round, which represents the cycle of life, and there's no mouth because an oval is not allowed to speak. So it was clear from the lentils that there was an avelas going on for Avram, who was Esav's grandfather, who was the Gadol Ador. Esav knew what was going on, but Esav was so involved in his taivas alam hazeh, and he was hungry. Nothing else can get in his way when he was hungry. He wanted food right now. He didn't care if he would throw away, which he did. He threw away all his whole spiritual future just for some food right now. But Esav was embarrassed. The basic way says he was embarrassed. He's going to come in, and people are going to see, oh, you're ignoring the fact that the Gadol Ador, your grandfather, was Nitzer, and all you care about is food. So what did he do? So first of all, he pretended he didn't know what it was. That's why he said, give me some of that red stuff. He didn't want to say lentils, because the second he would reveal that he knew it was lentils, so people would say, what are you doing, Esav? He said, give me some of that red stuff. And that's also why I said, halitaini, pour it down. If he would have asked for a bowl of soup, and after the first bite, he would have seen what it was. He would have understood that it was avelus. In order to get his full gashmius, without recognizing any of the spirituality going on, so he said, shove that red stuff down my throat, so that he could pretend that he didn't notice anything that was going on. But we look at Esav and we see, what a Rasha. We don't feel that we can relate to him. Like, it's making like a little bit like Tzadis. Like, Esav HaRasha, he's so bad. Like, the kids are taught, he's a Rasha, he's so bad, we can't relate to that. You know, we look in the Megillas Esther when it comes to Haman, that Haman, he says, the very famous pasuk, he says, he tells his wife, I have all the money in the world, and I have all the children in the world, and I have all the covet in the world, and one little Jew doesn't bow down to me, it's all worthless to me. And you read that pasuk, it's a joke. It's all worthless. What do you mean it's all worthless to you? You have everything. One little Jew is going to bother you. And we look at Haman and we say he's crazy. And we look at Lavan, the pasuk says that he changed the wages 100 times. He says, Yaakov is telling Rachel when he wants to leave. He says, your father cheated me 100 times, he changed the wages. Can you imagine that? 100 times he changed the wages. That's a crazy thing. And all the shtick that Lavan was pulling out in 7 years, and 7 years, and more years. So I once heard a nice heart, it's just pasuk, but I think it's a nice thing to point out that we should keep in mind. That when the Torah brings out the Rasha, and the Torah is bringing them out in a very extreme light to get the point across to us. When we see Haman, Haman says that I have everything, I have all the kids in the world, you know, the Medrash said, the Gemara says he has like hundreds of children, and he has all the money in the world, and he has all the covet in the world. But it's just trying to bring out the point so we can appreciate the riches that he has. But our goal is not to look at him and laugh at him and say we have no shachas. And we do have no shachas. No one can relate to Esav and Haman. What we can relate to is, let's take Esav. Esav threw away all of his future ruchmias for a little food. So we don't throw away all our future ruchmias. But if we're coming in and we're starving, so sometimes we forget to make a bracha. Or we make a bracha and we don't think what we're saying. We have the aspect of Esav within us on a smaller light. If the Torah would bring it out the way we have it, so it's very subtle, we wouldn't notice it. The Torah brings out Esav HaRasha, he threw away the Bukhari, he threw away all his future realness for a little food. We look at it and it's crazy. We're supposed to realize, how does it relate to us? Find a way in our life that it relates to us. By Haman, that he has everything, so we also have everything. Baruch Hashem, we're healthy, and Baruch Hashem, you know, Hashem takes care of us, and we have everything good. And then one thing goes wrong, and we start fetching and complaining about it. So one thing goes wrong, usually I say at the Bachem, the example I give is the food in yeshiva. One day lunch is not so good. I guess with our wives, it would be the same thing. One day, you know, lunch is burnt, the chont is burnt, and it's like we can't deal with it. You can't deal with it? Whatever. You have a great wife, she cooks you food, she does everything for you. She takes care of the house, and one time the food is burnt, okay. It's a better mashal for Bachram, but it's not that one thing goes wrong, but one person bothers you a little bit, so it makes us, we lose our whole focus. But a person, that's the midah of Haman. We're not Haman in such an extreme, but to realize that midah of Haman we have, and love him that he changes the wages 100 times, so none of us, whoever is employers, none of us are going to think I'll change the wages 100 times, but, you know, sometimes we're not so innocent. We tell our kids, we say, you know, if you do this, then I'll give you a prize. And then the kid says, where's the prize? And then, oh, you don't give the prize. So that's sheker, that's lying to your children. So we might not do it 100 times, but in those small ways that we might say a little sheker, that was supposed to be love and brought out in an extreme way, and to apply it to ourselves in the way that we have it, so that we shouldn't read the parashas and we go through and read about Esav and Lava and soon Haman to realize that we have all those midas that they have on a small scale, and we're just to learn from the Torah, it's brought out in an extreme way that we can apply it to ourselves, and mention that we should be able to improve and to find the right way.